The message title today is Filled with the Spirit, and we are in our Spirit-Filled series, Spirit-Filled Living The message title today is Filled with the Spirit, which is a part of our Spirit-Filled Life series. And how appropriate to talk about being Spirit-Filled if you're going to have a Spirit-Filled life. You can't have one without the other. And so today the intention is to take us into that. What was it that Jesus was saying when he said to his disciples, wait, don't go yet. There's something more that you need before you head out into this adventure that I have commissioned you towards. And so with that, we're going to go into the message today, and we're going to start with this subject of coming to terms. When I talk about coming to terms, I want to just share a few terms with you, because a lot of times there's misunderstanding with words that are used or terms that are used, especially between different church groups or denominations, or there can be just a real, sometimes, confusion. And so I want to start with making some explanation concerning some terms and what we mean when we're saying specific things. When we're talking about being filled with the Spirit, in Scripture, that is used interchangeably with being baptized. Baptized with the Holy Spirit. And I'll give you a couple of examples right off the bat here. From Acts chapter 1 and verse 5, these are the words of Jesus. When he said to his disciples, he said, John baptized with water, but in just a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Okay, so everyone say baptized. That was the term Jesus used describing the experience that they would have with the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. Okay, now in Acts chapter 2 and verse 4, this was the experience they had. And it says, and everyone present was filled. Everyone say filled. Filled. What did Jesus say they were going to be? And they were? Filled. Okay, so see how they're used interchangeably? And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. Who gave them this ability? This was a result of them being filled or baptized with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gave them an ability that they did not have before that. Okay, so already we're seeing dramatic changes in the lives of those that would follow Jesus because they were filled or baptized with the Holy Spirit. Now, we're going to do a little review from last week. What does it mean to be baptized? What? Whelmed. Good. Good job. Whelmed. It means to be whelmed or submerged, to engulf, to overcome utterly, or to overwhelm. We're probably more familiar with the term overwhelm. Man, I'm overwhelmed with work where I work at. Or, man, I'm overwhelmed with the kids. Just, whatever at my house. And, man, I just get so overwhelmed with, we get overwhelmed. But that comes from that root being whelmed, which means to just engulf, to just be submersed into. And so that's what baptism means. So to be baptized with the Spirit is to be overwhelmed with the Holy Spirit, with the Spirit. Now, when we're coming to terms, I want to share a few other terms with you. These are things that you may recognize, that you may have an association with. If you've hung around churches for any period of time, you're probably familiar with some of these terms. One of them is Pentecostal. People say they are Pentecostal. Now, again, that conjures up a lot of different ideas, but Pentecostal, when someone says, yes, I am Pentecostal, or our church is Pentecostal, typically, or the underlying meaning of that is we believe in the experience that happened on the day of Pentecost. It is an ongoing experience whereby the Spirit of God has been poured out by Jesus or by Father God to empower his people to live out their Christian life. The experience of Pentecost is intended to be an experience that all of us in this dispensation of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit are to experience. And so, therefore, we are Pentecostal. Another word used is full gospel. This was a very common term, especially back in the 60s and the 70s, where there was a group called Full Gospel Businessmen's Association. Full gospel, are you a full gospel church? No, we're only a half gospel church. I mean, no one ever admitted that. But the point of it was, is that when we're talking about being full gospel, the intent was to say, We're not separating out that part of the experience of the Holy Spirit with our experience of faith. Our faith in Jesus and our salvation is intended to include this part of the Holy Spirit, which kind of maybe in a traditional sense, or there's just been some things lost in the typical church experience where there's just not much expressed about the Holy Spirit or the intent of the Father with the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, that Pentecostal experience. And so full gospel was kind of a term that was used to make an association with, hey, we're good with the Spirit of God being a part of our midst, with his work in our midst. Okay, so that's kind of the term that was used there. You've probably heard of the term charismatic. I'm a charismatic Christian. Well, that term really comes from the Greek word charisma that is translated into our English word gifts. When we talk about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, it comes from the word charis or charisma or charisma. And we use that in English, really. You know, people say that John F. Kennedy was a man with charisma. Okay, well, probably not because, you know, he had this experience that we think about with charismatics. But he had this grace or this gift about him that was made him smooth or whatever you think of when you think of someone having charisma. This is probably a term that you have never heard of before related with Christians. I never have. I just kind of thought this should be a term that we start using, and that is the term karpos. Have you ever heard of someone being karposic? Have you ever said, I am a karposic Christian? It's like, what? What does that mean? Well, that's something I would like to start. Because, is that okay? Because really that's the Greek word for fruit. In Galatians chapter 5, where it speaks about the fruit of the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, and so forth. There's 9 fruit of the Spirit. But that word fruit comes from the Greek word karpos. Really, the Apostle Paul makes more of an emphasis of the fruit of the Spirit than the power or demonstration of the Spirit. You can see that when he's writing to the Corinthians. And the Corinthians, by the way, had things a little out of order. If you read through, you'll see why and where. But anyway, he said to them, you know, he said, desire the greater gifts, but I will show you a more excellent way. That's right at the end of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And then in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, he goes into talking about the love walk. And if I don't have love, I can do all these kinds of demonstrations, but it's meaningless. It's like a sounding, clanging cymbal, whatever it's like without love. So, you know, I would like to really kind of initiate, hey, let's be a church that's emphasizing the fruit of the Spirit as much or more than we would emphasize demonstrations of power of the Spirit of God, because really there ought to be an emphasis on that. Now, I probably wouldn't suggest you going around telling people, hey, I'm a karposic Christian. They go, okay, well, is that like toxic? You know, do I need to stay away from you? They might, but they kind of do anyway with Christians, right? Think about that, though, and we will get into that when we're talking about a Spirit-filled life, Spirit-filled living, how important it is to embrace all of the ministry of the Spirit of God in us, not just what's typically associated with we're Pentecostal, we're charismatic, we're full gospel. Typically, your mind goes to one thing, doesn't it? We won't go there today. It's kind of the elephant in the room among many churches, and we're going to expose that elephant along the lines here as we talk about being Spirit-filled Christians. So let's go on. When I'm talking about terms, I want to again explain or give some clarity to some of the terms that are used and how they can be misunderstood or mistaken. On one side of the line here, I've got baptized by whom, and on the other side, baptized with what, or whelmed with what. Baptized by whom? The Holy Spirit. Remember last week we talked about the baptism that saves you. 1 Corinthians 12:13 says, we are baptized by one Spirit into, what are we baptized into? First Corinthians 12:13. quick, quick, quick on your phones. What are we baptized into? Into the body. We are baptized into the body of Christ, or we are baptized into the church. A voice from beyond. Okay, very Daryl. He's out there monitoring the hallway. So here we are. We need to understand when the scripture speaks about being baptized by, everyone say baptized by. In other words, the Spirit of God is doing the baptizing, and he baptizes us into the body of Christ or into the church. That's what happens when we are born again. We are given birth by the Spirit of God. Our spirit is given birth by the Spirit of God into the body of Christ. Now, when we saw Jesus giving instructions to his disciples and we saw John baptizing, what did John baptize with? He says, I baptize with water. And Jesus told his disciples, go into all the world, preach the gospel, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And they went forth and they baptized them. We saw example after example last week when we were talking about baptisms, about them being baptized or them baptizing with water. So there was, who were they baptized by? Well, either John or the disciples. And what were they baptized into? Baptized into water or whelmed with water. Now, John said to his disciples, or those who were following him, John the Baptist, he said, I baptize you with water, but there is one coming who will baptize you with
fire.
And the Spirit and fire. That was Jesus. John the Baptist was speaking of Jesus when he says, he will baptize you with the Spirit and with fire. Now, today we're talking about not a fire baptism. We'll get into that when we're talking about a Spirit-filled life. But we're talking today about the baptism or the filling of the Holy Spirit. Now, notice, don't have a misunderstanding between baptism of the Spirit and baptism with the Spirit. See how baptism of the Spirit was into the body of Christ. But Jesus is the one that whelms us or baptizes us or fills us with the Holy Spirit. There's a difference between those two. Okay, we just need to understand that when we're coming to terms, coming to understanding what this all means. Let's talk about the purpose or the why of being filled with the Holy Spirit. We'll look at that from Scripture. First of all, Luke chapter 22, and I'd encourage you to look these up. I'm not going to put all these on the screen for you. Luke chapter 22 and verses 46 through 49. 24. Do as it says, not as I say. Sorry. Luke 24, 46 through 49. And he said, yes, it was written long ago that the Messiah would suffer and die and rise from the dead on the third day. It was also written that this message would be proclaimed in the authority of his name to all the nations, beginning in Jerusalem. There is forgiveness of sins for all who repent. You are witnesses of all these things. And now I will send the Holy Spirit, just as my Father promised. But stay here in the city until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with power from heaven. Okay, so here Jesus is speaking. He says, this message of Jesus' death and resurrection will be proclaimed, everyone say proclaimed, to the nations with authority. Now say authority. I want you to keep that in mind. Proclaimed with authority. And then he said, you are witnesses of these things. You are witnesses of these things. Then he said, I will send the Holy Spirit. He will fill you with power from heaven. So when Jesus is talking about proclaiming with authority, how do you suppose we're going to have that authority? What is going to give us the authority to proclaim that? He's saying, wait till you receive this power from heaven. Wait till you receive the Holy Spirit. Then in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, flip over there, Luke, Mark, John, Acts. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. These are the words of Jesus again. He said, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Okay, so again, Jesus said, you will receive power. We're talking about the purpose of the Spirit of God being given to fill or to baptize. He said, you will receive power. And he said, well, let me just show you this about that word power. This looks like dynamis, but it's actually pronounced in the Greek dunamis. But you can obviously see what English word we get from that. What's the English word we get from that?
Dynamite.
Dynamite or dynamic is another English word we get from that. And you understand, there's, wow, yeah, it's impressive. It's powerful. Dynamite, boom, it makes a change, big change in things. Especially the more dynamite you have, the more, boom, change comes. And so Jesus is saying that's what's going to happen when you receive the Spirit of God. It's going to empower you. It's going to put power into your life. So you will receive power or dunamis, dynamite kind of power when the Spirit of God comes on you, and you will be my witnesses. So if we just simply used the words of Jesus regarding, well, what's the purpose of this filling of the Holy Spirit? We could simplify it as simple as this: power to witness. Power to witness. But I'm going to make it just a little bit more detailed than that and give you this definition or this purpose of the filling of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The power to be a dynamic witness with authority. Remember, Jesus said, you'll proclaim this with authority. So not only the power to be a witness, but the dynamic, to be a dynamic witness with authority. That's the purpose of the filling of the Holy Spirit. Now that is brought forth to us or made available to us in a variety, huge variety of ways. And I'm going to list out a few of those ways, some of the things that we will be looking at in coming weeks. Everyone say coming weeks. Okay, so don't miss, don't wait for the hearse to take you to church or bring you to church. You come on your own, because you'll get a lot of good stuff by coming to hear these messages. But these are some of the ways that the power, that the Spirit of God will make you a dynamic witness with authority. First of all, revealing truth of Scripture. Revealing truth of Scripture. I could, you know, I'm not going to. It'll get way too long if I start expanding on these various things. But just briefing through, reveal the truth of Scripture. Also to give direction and preparation for things to come. The Spirit of God will lead us. The Spirit of God will guide us. The Spirit of God will reveal things to come. There's purpose for that, to help us to be a dynamic witness with authority. Giving us an ability to have effective prayer, more effective prayer. We'll get into that, the specifics of that, and what it is about the Spirit of God empowering us to pray prayers that are in line with the will of God, prayers that will be effective prayers. To express the character of God with authority. When we're talking about the character of God, again, we're talking about the fruit. The fruit of the Spirit is the character of God. We're talking about when the Scripture says, be holy, even as God is holy, living out a life of holiness, living out a life of righteousness. And if I have any clue as to what Charlie's going to share with you by some of the things he shared with me, he's going to challenge you to that life of righteousness, that life of right living. It's not self-discipline and strong self-control to squeak that out of you. It's being empowered by the Spirit of God to live a life that represents God, a life of godliness, a life that people look at and see, wow, that's like God would be, or that's like God would act, or that's like what God would say. Holy as God is holy, that's enabled to us or empowered to us by the Spirit of God. And to express the power of God with authority. When Jesus sent out his disciples, he talked about them laying their hands on the sick. He talked about them, what different types of gifts that would be given to them to empower them to express the power of God to people. You know, when Paul went to when he was speaking to the Corinthians, he says, when I came to you, he says, I didn't come with convincing words of wisdom. He said, I came with demonstrations of power so that your faith would be in God and not in the words of man or not in the wisdom of man. There's a purpose for that demonstrating God's power so that people will put their faith in God, not in you convincing them of something. So look at all these things and see the variety of the ways that the Spirit of God wants to enable you to be a dynamic and effective witness for Him, to proclaim Jesus. And then finally, to communicate effectively with words, with authority. Now, some people back off there and they want to do the Moses thing. I can't talk very well. Well, don't talk very well. Let the Spirit of God talk through you. And then it will be well. It will be powerful. Let my people go. Yeah. And so, I wasn't saying you guys can leave. No, just don't misunderstand me. But remember when Jesus said, you know, you're going to face authorities. You're going to be taken before authorities because of me. When you do, don't practice what you say, because the words will be given to you by the Holy Spirit. Now, I just want to share this. A few weeks ago, I shared with you that I had been asked to do a same-sex marriage ceremony and had declined as a result of my convictions that I said, you know, I would not be able to as a result of my convictions. And however, in Canada now, if I'd have done that, it's very likely that I would have been imprisoned because of that's discrimination. You can't do that. Now, in Minnesota, the law that was passed allowing for same-sex marriage still allows for ministers to opt out of doing that based on convictions. I'm still with the law here. But you know what? There's coming a day, there will come a day, where you and I, to live up and stand for and not compromise the Scripture, guess what? We'll go to prison. So when they come to your cell and they say, 9 o'clock tomorrow morning, you can make a defense for yourself. Don't start cramming for it. Start praying for it. Say, okay, Lord Jesus, your word says that I don't have to practice what I'm going to say, that the Spirit of God is going to give me the words to say. Look at the examples of that. Look at Stephen when he was taken to be stoned. You go, well, what's the outcome? What good was that? No, it was a tremendous outcome. I mean, he was martyred, yes, and Jesus was standing at the right hand of the Father ready to receive him. But Stephen gives this word that they start gnashing at their teeth. They're so convicted by the words that he says because he's effectively communicating so well because he was filled with the Spirit to communicate words that Sharon just exactly pinpointed them right where they were at. And so it is with us. We need to be expectant of that. You get put face on with a situation, don't sit there and go, I didn't study for this. I don't know. Just go, Spirit of God, speak through me. You will be amazed at the words that come out of your mouth. I'm amazed every Sunday morning. Where did that come from? Thank you, Lord. You make me look good. Oh, man, that's happening all the time. It will happen with you as you express your faith, as you declare, as you speak, as you are a witness for Jesus, the Spirit of God will make you look good. Don't back off saying, I don't know what to say. He will give you the words to say. That's his promise from his word. Okay, so what the Spirit, sorry, when you look at this list, okay, when you look at this list up here, remember last week I had a little bit of fun with the terms of baptism and how some, you know, I mean, for me, the Greek word means to whoosh, you whelm them. In other words, you just completely submerge them in the water. But some seem to make an application of where it's just sprinkling. And I said, well, you know, there are some baptisms that I think I'd rather have a sprinkling. If it's a baptism with fire, you know, or baptism of suffering, just a sprinkle would be fine. You know, don't overwhelm me with that. Just a sprinkle is good. But when you look at this list of what the Spirit of God has for you, what God has for you by filling you, overwhelming you with the Spirit, are you going to say, oh, just give me a sprinkle? Or are you going to say, wow, look at all the effectiveness that I can have by yielding myself to the ministry of the Spirit of God on the inside of me to be filled or whelmed with the Spirit? I want that. Sign me up. Where can I sign up? You know, it's like This is the purpose. And don't back up. Say, no, I'll take a sprinkle in effective prayers, and I'll take a sprinkle in, you know, this, knowing what's to come. That's always a good thing. Just sprinkle me with a few things, but not that words being effective speaking. No. Don't give me that. You know, I'm not even going to ask for that. It's like, don't expect a sprinkle. Expect to be overwhelmed by the Spirit of God. That's the intent. When he used the word baptized, he didn't say just a little bit of this. Okay, so consider that. The other thing is the purpose of the filling of the Spirit of God is not so that you can be superior or condescending to someone else who either has not had that experience or doesn't know about that experience. And a lot of times the way charismatic, Pentecostal, full gospel Christians have come off to what we might consider other believers is really wrong, really bad, and turn them off to charismata or turn them off to full gospel or Pentecostal. And so we need to guard against that. And I'll get into more of those details when we're talking about the elephant in the room, when we're talking about, you know, the power of the Spirit of God being demonstrated and how you can really come off. Well, let me just, expose the elephant. We're talking about speaking in other tongues. Someone asks you, have you been filled with the Spirit? I believe so. Do you speak in other tongues? Usually, that's the immediate question that's asked after that. And my question is, why? Well, I kind of know why. Because we see that being experienced with those that were filled with the Spirit. We're going to look at scriptural examples here this morning, and you'll see that. You'll see that experience. But I want to go back to say, you know what? That's not the only thing. What kind of evidence was expressed or in this list? Or when Paul said, you know, I could speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but if I don't have love, what good is it? It's worthless. I believe I know people who are more filled with the Spirit who haven't spoken with tongues than someone else who, you know, I see their lifestyle and I go, okay, you may speak with other tongues, but you know what? You're sure not representing Jesus. How much filled are you? See what I mean by we can compartmentalize and we can get a sprinkle here and there, but God wants us to give us the whole whelmed, the whole whelmed. So that's what we're going to be pressing for. But we're not going to leave out that elephant. It's a big elephant. We need that elephant in our room. We're just going to expose him. Okay? Hope you understand what I'm saying. If not, just hang on. I'll explain weeks later. Okay, so we see the purpose of it. Well, let's talk about the who and the when then. We've got the why, so let's talk about the who and the when. In Acts chapter 2, you can turn there with me if you would, Acts chapter 2, 38 and 39, and you'll see, didn't we see that illustration sometime before? And yes, you did. I brought a number of these scriptures and these illustrations up when we were in the story and talked about the new beginnings and the church coming to be and Jesus outpouring his Holy Spirit. But we're getting into, remember I also said at that time, this needs a series? Okay, well this is the series, you're getting it. So Acts 2, 38 and 39. Peter replied, each of you must repent of your sins, turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ to show that you have received forgiveness for your sins. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is to you and to your children and even to the Gentiles, all who have been called by the Lord our God. Okay, so here he talks about repent, be baptized, receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And who is the promise for? All who are called of God. Are you called of God?
Yes.
The promise is yours. The whole promise. Excuse me, overmodulated. The whole promise of God, not just a sprinkle. Okay? Promise to all who God calls. Then Acts chapter 8. Turn with me there. Acts chapter 8, and this is Philip when he goes to Samaria. Remember, their persecution started. Stephen was stoned. Acts chapter 7. And so from there, you know, because this persecution started, the disciples started to scatter, which was really a God-ordained thing for them to get out of Jerusalem into Samaria and the uttermost parts of the earth. And so here's Philip in Samaria. Acts chapter 8, verse 12. Acts chapter 8, verse 12. But now the people believed Philip's message of the good news concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, As a result, many men and women were baptized. Okay, so would you say they were believers? Would you call them Christians? It's not a trick question. I have one of those later. But it says they were believers. They believed his message. They were baptized. I'd pretty much say they were Christians. Now let's go on in verse 14. When the apostles in Jerusalem heard that the people of Samaria had accepted God's message, they sent Peter and John there. As soon as they arrived, they prayed for these new believers to receive the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit had not yet come upon any of them, for they had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John laid their hands on these believers, and they received the Holy Spirit. Okay, so by the understanding of what this says, they were baptized in water. They were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, but they had not yet been baptized or filled or received the Holy Spirit. And so Peter and John went down to pray for them, laid hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. Now you'll see another gentleman in. It's too bad this screen fades out. I think we got to get some different kind of lights or something, you know, those big theater lights that with the guards on it, so the screen doesn't get washed out. See the guy way over on the right? That's Simon, and he's offering up some cash. He's got a little bag of coins there. He's offering up some cash because he wants to buy this experience so he can have this power. He used to wow the crowds with his sorcery. But now he wants this power that he sees being demonstrated as Peter and John are laying their hands on these people and they are being filled with the Spirit. And obviously something is happening. There's some kind of powerful thing that's happening for him to go, wow, I want that. But he says, can I buy that from you guys? Can I pay you so that I can have this power, so that I can lay hands on people and they're filled with the Spirit? And Peter turns around and he rebukes him sharply. He says, may your money perish with you. Your heart is not right with God, thinking you can buy this from God. And so he really gets rebuked, and Simon goes, hey, man, pray for me. Pray that these things that you just said won't happen, won't happen to me. So, you know, he's got the fear of God there. But the point of this is that, you know, these guys, these Samaritans who were believers and had been baptized also needed an experience that they had not yet had, and that was to receive the Holy Spirit or be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, last week, a couple of weeks, I don't know, I don't remember. These weeks blend together, but we talked about Peter going to Cornelius' household. And we saw the experience that they had there when it says in Acts 10, 44 through 48, even as Peter was saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell upon all who were listening to the message. The Jewish believers who came with Peter were amazed that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles too, for they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. Then Peter asked, can anyone object to their being baptized now that they have received the Holy Spirit just as we did? So he gave orders for them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Afterward, Cornelius asked him to stay with them for several days. So here we see the Holy Spirit falling on these people before they're water baptized. They're receiving the message, they're believing, and they're being filled with the Spirit at that time. And the expressions of prophesying and speaking with other tongues is being expressed, is being manifest from them. And in fact, that's how they see. That's the evidence that they see. These guys received the Spirit just like we did. Wow. And they're Gentiles. We didn't ever think they were worthy. That's why Peter had to get that whole revelation of the unclean animals coming down and on a sheet and God saying, don't call what I call clean. Don't you call that unclean. And Peter comes to that revelation of the household of Cornelius. He says, man, this is even for the Gentiles. I see this now. It's clear for me now. But anyway, they experienced this filling with the Spirit of God even before they were water baptized. Ooh, how about that? Okay, in the next chapter 19, we're going to come up to answering a question here. Acts chapter 19 in verses 1 through 7, we see the brothers at Ephesus. While Apollos was in Corinth, Paul traveled through the interior regions until he reached Ephesus on the coast, where he found several believers. What were these guys?
Believers.
Believers. They're believers. Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? They believed, right? They were believers. What was their answer? No, they replied. We haven't even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. Okay, so they went to the part gospel church. They weren't full gospel. They hadn't even heard of the Holy Spirit. And so then what baptism did you receive? He asked, and they replied, the baptism of John. Paul said John's baptism was called for repentance from sin, but John himself told the people to believe in the one who would come later, meaning Jesus. As soon as they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Okay, so there was a difference between John's baptism of repentance and being baptized in the name of Jesus, which was identifying themselves with the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Okay, so they were baptized in the name of Jesus. As soon as they heard this, excuse me, I lost my place. I'm going to start at verse 4. Paul said, John's baptism called for repentance from sin, but John himself told the people to believe in the one who would come later, meaning Jesus. As soon as they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then when Paul laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in other tongues and prophesied. There were about 12 men in all. Okay, so he had asked that question, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? So that since part is really, you know, signifying there was a difference between the time of them believing and their being baptized with the Holy Spirit. And they said they didn't know that there was one. And I've shared this with you before. My growing up experience was kind of like that. And I'm not blaming the church that I grew up in. It might have just been me not listening. Because you know how it talks about, and all who listened to the message received the Holy Spirit? Sometimes it's just a matter of listening. You don't listen. But it was kind of like that for me when someone finally explained about the being filled or baptized with the Holy Spirit, and this is what it's for. I sat there on the edge of my pew and said, I need this. I need this. Boy, if they give an altar call, I'm going up. I'm going up. And they did give an altar call, and I went up. Actually, I went to the back room. They did this in a back room. But there was a bunch of us in there. They laid hands on us to receive the Holy Spirit, this filling, this baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I did. And it was great. And it is great. Yes, hallelujah. And I didn't just get a sprinkle. I got overwhelmed. Hallelujah. Okay, so with that, I have some questions for you. Is the filling of the Spirit separate from or together with salvation? And I want to explain salvation according to the Scripture. Salvation, as we've seen in the book of Acts, talking about repentance and coming to God. It talks about believing and being baptized. So the question is it simultaneously or at different times? Here's the trick question. Yes. We see examples of both in Scripture. Cornelius' household, it was simultaneous. It was at the same time. With the Ephesians, they'd been believers before they even knew about the Holy Spirit. The Samaritans, they'd believed, were baptized, had not yet received the Holy Spirit. So it was separate. Okay, so a lot of times people come up with, no, when you became a Christian, you got the fullness of the Spirit. Maybe. Maybe you did. I can't deny that. However, I do see scripturally that it didn't always happen at the same time. And it didn't happen for me at the same time because I really didn't know about the ministry of the Spirit of God. And, you know, I wonder how many people do really know when they come to Christ. They put their faith and trust in Him for salvation and to make Him the Lord of their life. But, wow, this source of power for me to live out this life you're suggesting? Wow, yeah, I need that too. Well, maybe not everyone always explains that. So I have some questions for consideration. Did I finally put the answer up there? Okay, just in case you didn't know. Some questions for consideration. The first question isn't in your notes. But the first question is, were you filled with the Spirit when you first believed? You know, that's what Paul asked the Ephesians, so it's an appropriate question to ask. And you might go, well, yes, no, maybe so. I'm not sure. Okay, well, the next question is then, what is the evidence of you being filled? You saw the list I put up there. You might think, well, there's that going on, but really not that. So I'm still not really, really sure. So here's my next question. Why settle for a little if there's more? Why settle for a sprinkling if you can be whelmed and overwhelmed? And that's God's intent for you. That's why Jesus said, it's to your advantage I go away, because when I go, the Spirit of God will come. And he will lead and guide you into all truth. He will reveal things to come. Wow, what's that all about? My next, I guess this is more a comment than a question. Why defend a moot point? You know, maybe someone told you that you need more than what you got, and that offended you. Maybe some charismatic Christian who's not a carpasic Christian came and said, brother, you speak with tongues? Haven't lately, that I know of. My wife says I talk in my sleep. Maybe. Well, you got to get filled with the Spirit then. You ain't got Spirit if you don't speak in other tongues. Okay, thanks a lot. Just really encouraged me. See, I think we've gone about this backwards, really. We need to, and that's why I'm instructing you, so you can have clarity about what this is all about. It is so much more than having a, and even the, I got to do a whole week on tongues, because some people get it mixed up with a message in tongues that needs to be interpreted versus a prayer where your spirit prays to the Father. That has to be distinguished. You have to understand the difference between that. Otherwise, you'll take the scripture out of its context and you'll go, no, the scripture says tongues shall cease. They're done with. Or no, you can't pray unless someone's there to interpret. No, that's not what it's about. I'm just teasing you. So you'll come back. Don't wait for the hearse to bring you back. You come on your own. It's worth it. It's worth every quarter you put in the offering plate. Okay. And my final question is, you know, more important than were you filled with the Holy Spirit when you believed is, are you filled with the Holy Spirit now? Hallelujah. Because we see example after example in Scripture of where those who were filled with the Spirit were filled again with the Spirit. You know, read Acts chapter 4, the end of there, when the building shakes. And they pray for boldness to be witnesses. What do they want to be? They want to be effective witnesses with authority. And so they're praying for boldness for that. And the whole building shakes and it says, and they were all, these are guys who were there at Pentecost. Says that, and they were all filled with the Spirit. So there's more than just, yeah, I did it once. There is being filled and be ye being filled. That's what it says in Ephesians 5. Do not be drunk with wine. And I tell you what, when we're talking about more than enough, some people are trying to get off with this feeling of euphoria by consuming alcohol, where the scripture says, hey, here's a whole lot better alternative. Be filled with the Spirit. You're going to get a lot greater high off of that than any buzz you might get with alcohol. It's just like, don't even compare the two. Stop being drunk with wine. Be being filled is what the Greek says. Ongoing, being filled with the Spirit. I'm just going to get too long here, so I'm going to cut it off. I'm going to pray now. And Larissa, if you want to come forward, I'm going to offer to you today the opportunity, if you would so choose, to come forward and have hands laid on you. I'm not going to press anything out of you and say, well, he's going to make me speak with other tongues and I'm just scared. Just wait with that till I have the opportunity to share about that. I'm not going to say, make, ask, do, have you do anything. I'm just going to lay hands on you and say, be filled with the Spirit, if that's your choice. If you're uncertain or you're saying, it's time for me to experience this again. Or, you know, I've kind of been just sprinkled, but I want to be whelmed. And I just see examples, many examples, where there was the laying on of hands. Didn't always happen that way in Cornelius' household. They just, boom, they were there. They heard the message. And everyone was surprised. Wow, we didn't even lay hands on them yet. So it's not always that way, but I see several examples of that. And so if you would like that, and to make that certainty that, yes, there was this time when I yielded to the Lord and I said, I want everything you have for me, then I'll just invite you to come up, line up around the front here, and I'm just going to simply, let's do it. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before you, and I'll just encourage you all to stand up. come before you, Father, to just acknowledge that we are nothing without you, but you have everything for us. Everything enabling us to be the witnesses, the examples, to be dynamic, effective believers representing you. We just ask, Father, I'm reminded of the words of Jesus when in Luke chapter 11 and verse 13, he said, "You earthly fathers, though you're sinful, you don't give bad things to your kids when they ask for them. How much more will the Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask?" And Lord, just by this coming forward, people have said, "I'm asking for that." And so we trust your words, Jesus. You said that when we ask for the Holy Spirit, you'll give it. So we base our faith and these prayers on that word in the name of Jesus. If I happen to miss you, I see a whole bunch up here. If I happen to not lay hands on you, you make sure I do before we're done, because that's what you came for. So Father, in the name of Jesus, filled with the Spirit of God, baptized, overwhelmed in Jesus' name. Filled with the Spirit of God, baptized and overwhelmed, immersed, engulfed, power to be a dynamic, effective witness. Father, filled with the Spirit of God, your promise, any who would ask, you'd give the Holy Spirit power in Jesus' name. Filled with the Spirit of God, power to be an effective witness, a dynamic witness, expressing and proclaiming Jesus in the name of Jesus. Filled with the Spirit of God, that overwhelming, empowering, dynamic witness. Thank you, Lord. Filled with the Spirit of God. Filled with the Spirit of God. Baptized by the Holy Spirit. Whelmed and overwhelmed in Jesus' name. Whelmed and overwhelmed in Jesus' name. To be a powerful, effective witness for Jesus. Equipped with the power of God. Whelmed and overwhelmed to be an effective witness. Filled with the Spirit of God. Filled with the Spirit of God. Empowered by the Spirit of God. Baptized by the Holy Spirit. Baptized by the Holy Spirit. Filled with the Spirit of God. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Filled with the Spirit of God. Baptized and overwhelmed in the precious name of Jesus. Jesus, you gave this gift. You gave this gift. Outpouring, filling, filled in Jesus' name, baptized, overwhelmed, power to be an effective witness, dynamic witness, a dynamic witness for the Lord because of the Spirit of God indwelling and empowering in Jesus' name, filled with the Spirit of God, empowered, hallelujah, just fresh baptized. How appropriate, Lord. Just like we saw the Samaritans. They believed, they were baptized, and then they were laid hands on them to receive the filling of the Spirit of God. Be filled in Jesus' name. Baptized with the Spirit of God. Baptized and overwhelmed with the Spirit of God. A dynamic witness at home, at work, wherever you take her. In Jesus' name. Baptized with the Spirit of God, whelmed and overwhelmed, filled with the dynamic power of God to be a dynamite, a dynamic witness for Jesus with authority in Jesus' name. With authority, the authority that Jesus gives, that only Jesus can give, that our lives and our lifestyles line up with the Word. Father, I pray that passion, I pray that empowering of the Spirit of God to be that. Father, in Jesus' name, filled with the presence and the Spirit of God, fullness of the Spirit of God, Lord, empowered to be a dynamic witness, headed back to school just to be a witness in the hallways with her life and her lifestyle and her words, her effective words in Jesus' name, a dynamic witness. Empowered by the Spirit to be all that God has called and destined you to be. Conformed to the image of Jesus with the power of Jesus demonstrating in your life. In Jesus' name. Filled and baptized, overwhelmed and overwhelmed with the Spirit of God to be all that He intends you to be. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Filled to the fullness. Fullness in Jesus' name. Fullness in Jesus' name. Baptized, overwhelmed, whelmed and overwhelmed, and filled with the Spirit of God. In Jesus' name. Filled with the mighty presence of God. Whelmed and overwhelmed. In Jesus' name. Baptized with the Holy Spirit. Not drunk with wine, but filled with the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. Filled with the Spirit of God. Believer, baptized, filled with the Spirit of God. In Jesus' name. Empowered to be a dynamic witness for Him in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Yeah. Anyone else that I missed? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Now I want a few of you to come and gather around me because I drain out like the rest of you do. So I got to have this too. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We want to be a people, God, that are about doing about your business. Doing your business until you return. We don't want to be the unfaithful stewards. Lord, I realize that some people say, just sprinkle me a little bit because I know that to whom much is given, much is required. And I don't know if I want to be accountable for that. But Father, I believe you have gathered a group of people together here in this place that are willing to be accountable, willing to make the sacrifice, willing to give themselves as an offering, willing to believe that you are more than enough and more than anything this world can offer, and Lord, willing to give themselves to be these dynamic witnesses which you have intended for your people throughout this earth. We represent different places of work and school and, Father, all these different spheres of influence among friends and family. And Lord, with that, we know that you have placed us. And you know that, and we know that you want us to be effective where you have placed us. So we offer ourselves to you, Lord God. Fill us new and fresh. In Jesus' name we pray. And we thank you for it. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. You may all go ahead and be seated. Except we don't want you to feel left out. Father, you have anointed her, and we're on the experiencing end of that, the receiving end of that. Larissa's expressions of the dynamic witness for Jesus, Lord, through her gift of worship. And we thank you for the gift that you have brought to us through this congregation. We just pray, Father, that you would whelm her and overwhelm her by your Spirit as well. For the gift that she continually shares with us, not just here in this place, Father. I know she's a witness and a testimony for you throughout her life and her lifestyle and her various places of work and school. So we just pray, Father, for your whelming and overwhelming her, your filling and baptizing her with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Whew, yeah. Bless the Lord. Okay. I will go ahead and dismiss you, but we still will offer up to you the prayer team. You might say, well, I just got prayed for. Well, you might have something else you want prayed for, something else specific. And so we do have a prayer team that is just all fired and ready to pray for you. So fired up. We don't fire our prayer team. We fire them up. So with that, I'll go ahead and dismiss you with the blessing of the Lord. God bless you.